Hey, yo, the Deej.
Yeah?
Did you finish your homework?
Yes.
Did you do your chores?
Yes.
Even the dog poo?
Yes.
Do you want to watch a movie?
Sure. What are we watching?
Because I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden twinkle in my eye.
Snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Snozzberries? Who ever heard of a snozzberry?
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.
Yo!
Yo! Hello, everybody!
And welcome to episode 5.
Episode 5, man, of
Movies My Dad Made Me Watch.
Okay! I like it, man! Is that going to be our entrance, like, every time? Like, we get that fanfare?
Maybe.
Oh, man, I'm super ready for it. Well, welcome back to Movies My Dad Made Me Watch, guys. And today's movie is...
So, last week, we didn't say it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, we totally forgot at the end.
Our bad.
Yeah, totally our bad.
So, if you didn't pay any attention to the beginning, we're covering the original Willy Wonka, not the other one.
No, the other one is like Voldemort. It's it will not be named list for sure.
I don't think we'll ever cover it. It's no, that garbage.
Anyway, so we were talking about the OG Gene Wilder Willy Wonka, my friend. And this is the movie, man.
Well, it's the fourth movie on my list.
My top five. Yep, it is your fourth in your top five. That's exactly right.
Do you want to get down into it?
Yeah, let's go right into the business of the movie. I guess we're not going to have a casual conversation. That's fine. I mean, I didn't want to talk anyway.
Let's get into the land down under.
Okay. It's very nice. I like that a lot. Anyhow, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory was released in the summer of 1971. Your dad was not quite born yet. I was like eight years away. It was adapted from the 1964 novel Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, written by Roald Dahl.
Amazing book.
It is a really good book. The movie was directed by Mel Stewart. The screenplay was written by Roald Dahl. There's an interesting story about this. Roald Dahl was credited for the screenplay, but against Dahl's wishes, David Seltzer was brought in to rework the script. Apparently, Roald Dahl was not meeting deadlines. So, Seltzer had made some changes to the ending and added a few musical numbers. Mm. Dahl was not stoked by the changes at all. He then disowned the film entirely, and David Seltzer still went uncredited for the film as the finishing artist of it, which is a trip. The film is shot entirely in Munich, Germany, which I've been to. That was a really cool place to visit. The movie starred the genius
Gene Wilder.
That is Gene Wilder, exactly. You had Jack Albertson, who played Grandpa Joe. You had Peter Ostrom, who played Charlie Bucket. Interesting story about Peter Ostrom. This is the only movie he ever did, like, ever. And he ended up becoming, like, a super kick-ass, like, vet. Like a animal doctor.
I think we know what a vet is, sir.
My bad. That's totally my bad. anyway. you had Julie Dawn Cole, who played Veruca Salt. Also a name of a pretty kick-ass 90s band. Denise Marie Nickerson played Violet Beauregard. Paris Themen played Mike TV. And then Michael Bolner played Augustus Gloop.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, it's a big boy.
he's a very large bean.
The movie was up for an Academy Award for Best Original Score.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because, once again, the soundtrack is filled with bangers, top to bottom. Gene Wilder was also up for a Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Musical or Movie, but both categories were lost to a movie called Fiddler on the Roof. And Fiddler on the Roof, the movie, I believe, was the adaptation of the play that did really, really well on Broadway as well. The movie's budget was $3 million. Yeah, it earned $4 million by the end of its run.
Well, they made back their money.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be considered a success, I don't think. I mean, I think that's probably added to why it became such a cult classic later on. And of course, you know, that had a lot to do with, you know, extra plays on TV and VHS and stuff like that.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Was that a lot of money back then?
In 1971, yeah, $3 million would set you up for life. And not to say that $3 million probably wouldn't set you up for a good time as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, eventually that's probably going to, you know, wind down. Whereas mm-hmm. back in 1971, $3 million would definitely go a longer way. But if you probably add that up in inflation, you know, I'm not good at math, but I would, speculate maybe $15 million. So it's a nice little chunk of change these days, you know what I mean?
For a movie, though?
No, well, I mean, considering it's not like a Marvel movie, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Marvel movie, you're obviously going to spend millions and millions of dollars. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's get going paid. Everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. In 2014, this is pretty cool. In 2014, the film was selected by the National Film Registry of the Library of Congress for its significance in culture and other things as well, which I thought was pretty cool, man. Anyway, I believe that finishes the business side of the movie.
Most of the time is the less interesting.
Well, I mean, I try to fill it up with, like, some cool stories in there.
Well, most of the time. So, we just hack right into the movie.
Yeah, we're going to go right into the movie, bud.
And, we're going into it.
No, okay, my bad. Reiterated.
And then we see chocolate just pouring down everywhere. And me and Dad are just, like, running in with, like, little, like, spoon, just like, no.
Yeah. I want it all. I want it all in my mouth.
I want it all.
I want it all. Ooh, we can't sing anymore. We might get sued. And I want it now. Sorry, had to finish it.
We're sorry. Don't sue us, please. We don't have any money.
Oh, we're insignificant. They don't care.
And then we opened into a place called Bill's Candy Shop.
Oh, Bill's Candy Shop, man. Whoa, he wasn't a villain. Why are you doing the villain laugh?
Because I think it would be funny.
Okay, fair enough. I thought it was funny.
Hey, at least you did. and then they do the Candyman scene bit.
Oh, that's the first number of the movie, man.
And then you see the scrumdiddlyumptious bar.
The Candyman can. No. The Candyman can, because he mixes the love and makes the world taste
Dad,
good.
We're done. This is going way too long.
What are you talking about? We just started. How are you not going to give love to that song, man?
Because we're taking a long time.
The people love it.
you can even eat the dishes in the song.
Oh, yeah, you can even
foreshadowing!
There's some foreshadowing there.
And then everyone likes to hang out because it's, like, the local candy spot. Like, all, like, the rich kids come in with their money, like, give me candy.
But did you see? Hold on. Did you see any money physically exchanged in there at all? That guy ended up just showering them with, like, free candies and marshmallows and the whole bit. Like, just giving up lollipops. I didn't get to see one nickel exchanged in that entire sequence, buddy.
Really? A nickel? Five cents?
Hey, man, this is the 70s, buddy. If you can, it's cheap back then. But what I'm saying is, there was no money exchanged.
I thought you'd go lower, like a penny.
Ah, well, whatever. Carrying on.
We see Charlie in the window, who's like...
And first of all, Charlie sees him giving away candy. He can't slip in there real quick and just grab him a little tasty morsel?
Like, hey, yo.
Like, hey, crawl on the floor real quick.
You know what I mean? Give a little something to me.
A little Hershey kiss.
Or maybe just give me the whole stock. Thank you. I'll give you a couple nickels later.
Oh, man.
And Charlie's a great newspaper boy. He's just...
Oh, I mean, that guy, look, Charlie should be hooping, okay? Because the dude is just dropping all kind of trays all over the place.
And then there's this long montage of him throwing papers.
Mm-hmm.
And then he runs up to Wonka's factory.
Oh, yeah. I like this shot.
Which, it's pretty creepy looking, actually.
The factory itself? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can get that.
And then we see a guy with a flipping knife cart. Like, police, do something. Arrest this man.
So,
keep him away from children.
Right? Like, first of all, two things, right? Mm-hmm. Two things. One, never noticed that cart was filled with knives. Okay?
I've always noticed that cart's been full of knives.
This is hilarious, DJ, because I've seen this movie so many more times than you have, and never not once ever did I, like, notice that the dude was carrying a knife, or carrying a knife cart, or, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, but super creepy dude, and then he has, like that super creepy monologue, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm, where he says, nobody ever goes in, and no one ever comes out.
Yeah, that's super creepy. And then he, like, gives him the wide-eye look, and mm-hmm. starts just trotting off with his cart of knives?
Like, what is going on here?
I don't know.
How is this a kid's movie?
Like, what is this dude's trade? Is, like, is he a blacksmith or something? A bladesmith? I don't get it. I don't understand, but he's creepy.
And then we flash into Charlie's Bucket's home.
Yep, yep.
And we see the grandparents. They've been sitting in there for 20 years.
20 years, DJ. 20 years his grandparents have been in that bed.
How are their legs, like, not jelly?
Well, there's, like, I mean, it's got to be atrophy, right? Like, their body is just numb at this point. Like, you know? Like, do they get up to go potty? Like, what is the whole business of them just being in bed for 20 minutes? Get up and get a job, Uncle Joe, or Grandpa Joe, excuse me.
Uncle Joe? The grandparents' names are pretty funny, too.
They are.
Grandpa George, yep. Grandpa Georgina.
Yeah, Grandma Georgina, right? Grandma Josephine and Grandpa Joe.
Grandpa Joe's the man.
Yeah, I like Grandpa Joe. Well, he might not be a great influence later on, but we'll get there.
Well, actually, we're already there.
Oh, are we really? Wait a minute. Are we really?
Charlie is supporting Grandpa Joe's tobacco habit.
How? It's payday, right? And we're feeling bad. Grandpa Joe has been in bed laid out for 20 years.
And he's still smoking pipes.
And this poor boy is over here supplying his tobacco habit. Man, that's cold. Mm. That's cold. That's like some child labor stuff right there.
And then they start talking about Willy Tilly Wonka.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And apparently the reason why they close it down is basically spies. And then we hear Slugworth mentioned.
Yeah, that's right.
With that name, I would never buy his candy.
No, it sounds nasty.
It sounds like he puts slugs in his candy.
Yeah, like it's all slimy and just nasty.
And then the next question comes, who is helping Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
Like he's mass producing candy.
Yeah, what was it like? He closed his factory and like 3 years later, he reopened it up like full bore, just started pumping out candy.
He didn't quite open it up.
Oh, right. That's right. He kept it closed, mm-hmm. but he was still making candy.
Yeah, he was pumping them out.
That's right. My bad.
Boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. And then we meet the teacher, Mr. Turkentine. A very German name, I will say.
Yeah, it does seem like a very German name, doesn't he?
Very German.
I find that dude very funny. The actor, he's got some great, great lines.
And then they're making a weird wart remover.
That's right.
And then there's a very big puff of explosion.
Right.
And it says, it's a very big wart remover.
Oh, man, that's too funny.
And then we find out about the 5 golden tickets.
That's right. There was a big announcement that came out and said that there was going to be 5 lucky winners that if they found a golden ticket, they would actually go inside of Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. How cool is that, dude?
And the prize, if you make it to the end, or when you go to the end.
Yeah.
You get some sweet, sweet, sweet candy, lifetime supply of candy.
Yeah. We did a lot of sweets on that one. Did we get? We get sidetracked with the sweet, the thoughts of chocolates in your belly.
At this point, just put the whole movie disc in my mouth.
It's like the disc, the movie disc should be made of chocolate
and
itself,
just,
right?
Now.
Just nom nom nom.
Well, I guess you can't watch this movie anymore. Oh, well.
Oh, that was the 35th edition.
Well, I guess we'll get the 36th.
Yes, that's so true.
And then we find the first winner in Germany. Who is Augustus Gloop, Pride of Dusselheim?
Dusselheim, Germany. Deutschland.
And he is the son of a butcher, and they're talking, and then the dad just eats the mic, just nom.
Yes, he goes to ask him a question, he eats the mic. That's so funny.
That explains something.
He's a big boy, too.
he's a little round around the edges, I think.
Yeah. He likes throwing back the bratwurst, for sure.
And then a creepy guy with weird scars all over him, weird glasses, starts whispering in his ear.
Creepy whisper guy.
And just starts shoving.
Yeah, he just like people like brats onto his plate. He's like, here you go, kid. Just eat all the brats you want.
Here, take a couple more. Take a couple more wieners. Just put them right. Well, would they be considered wieners?
Yeah.
Because I thought that was the American version.
I mean, well, no, because you have... No, yeah, you can call it a wiener.
We're sorry for the inappropriate humor. And then we fast forward to Charlie's B-Day.
And Charlie gets a hand-knitting scarf by three different people. I guess one person. They had two grandmas lined up in bed.
And then one grandma who didn't do anything.
No, it was mom. It was the two grandmas and the mom that made it. And it was a nice scarf, though. It's a very lovely shade of red.
And then he gets a Wonka. Well, it's not technically a Wonka bar. It's something else.
Yeah, it's kind of like a moon pie or something. You know what a moon pie is?
No, but what the candy is basically like this chocolate thing, and then there's like marshmallow filling.
Yeah, it's like two biscuits and then like marshmallow in the middle of it. It's delicious.
Just put it in my
mouth. Super, super good.
They open it up and find nothing.
No golden ticket in that one, buddy. But doesn't he lie there? Like, doesn't he like kind of do like does a fake out or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Charlie.
Yeah.
And then we flash forward to Veruca Salt.
Ugh, what a spoiled brat she is, man.
And then the creepy guy whispers back.
Oh, yeah, because
they find the ticket while all the ladies are working there.
Yeah, dude!
And I hate that's all ladies. Kind of sexist.
Yeah, kind of sexist indeed. Like, you can't throw some dudes up in there, man. You know what I mean?
Like why don't we get, like, a 50-50 split?
Like, come on, man. You know, like, the women don't have to do everything. Shoot. Just messed up.
And then apparently Wonka bars are being sold out, like, everywhere.
Yeah, across the United States, yeah. Or the world, really.
And it's like, the first batch is already out. If I pump out more, there's no more golden tickets than these. Wonka's probably curling his mustache that he doesn't have.
This has got to be one of the most genius marketing schemes of all time, my dude.
And then we get Snarky Computer Guy.
Snarky computer guy joins
the battle.
Well, no, because then you have the computer operator trying to ask him, like, hey, you know, can you tell us where the location of the next ticket is going to be? And then the computer comes out and says, well, that would be cheating. And if I told you that, oh, man, the computer was hilarious.
And then we flash to Violet, the first American to find the golden ticket.
Yep, Violet Beauregard.
Why aren't there any other Americans, Willy Wonka?
Well, I mean, it's based in Germany, buddy. You know what I mean?
We still need to get some even splits.
Well, no, fair enough.
I call cheese on that gum.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like Play-Doh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just
nasty. She's just chewing it on forever. And then did you hear her, too? She's like, when she's not chewing on it, she just sticks it behind her ear. Oh, nasty. And then she throws shade at somebody. Doesn't she throw shade at somebody?
One of the...
Cornelia. And she's like, hi, Cornelia, darling.
And then Charlie meets mom at work.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then we get the third... Oh, no. Oh, they tell him about the third ticket?
Yeah, Charlie starts talking about the third ticket and, like, he's, like, telling his mom, like, well, I thought, you know, everyone else cares. I care. Like, he's just super, super upset about the fact that he's not going to get his golden ticket, like, ever, man.
And then the second number...
Cheer up, Charlie.
The mom! Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what a special treat. The mom coming in for a cameo.
And... Mom, we love you.
That was really good.
Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Mom. Appreciate it. We might even get a couple more hits for that one, man.
We might get a Golden Globe.
Oh, hey, there we go.
And on to the show again.
No need to frown.
Great song.
Oh, obviously. I love that song. Yeah, it's a great song.
And I actually have a question for you.
Okay.
Is this movie a musical?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's totally a musical. right?
I say no.
Really? You don't think... Okay.
Let me explain my reasoning.
Sure, please.
In things like, actual musicals like Hamilton...
Okay.
Like, every time they're speaking, you can at least hear a hint of singing behind it.
Okay, that's fair. And you're absolutely right. But if you also go to Lin-Manuel Miranda's other musical, which is In the Heights, a lot of that is talking in between musical numbers, right?
Enough.
So, and that's still considered a musical. So Willy Wonka is 100% a musical for sure. And if I do say myself, top 10 musicals of all time. Okay, I'll take a bullet for it.
I'm not a big musical person, so sure. I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Do you like Hamilton?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you like In the Heights?
Well, we haven't watched In the Heights.
Well, I mean, as far as the music that I've played.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Right on.
Well, I think it's because it's more aimed towards us, in a way.
Oh, I can get that. Yeah, well, because it's about, you know, Latinx folks. You know what I mean? Which is underrepresented, I think.
And then we see Mike TV, the fourth golden ticket, and who this kid is obsessed with Westerns, never at the dinner table, because he eats TV dinners, which, by the way, I call cheese on.
The TV dinners?
Ugh.
Oh, just, I don't think we've ever given you a TV dinner. They're not great. You're right. They're not great at all. That's some super stinky cheesy there.
I'm calling Gorg.
Gorgonzola on that one. I don't blame you because TV dinners are not awesome. And they said that, oh, there's big improvements on them now. They're still rubbish.
Creepy ear whisper guy. Who was letting this man around kids?
And how was he at the right place at the right time every time? Let me ask you a question. Do you think Willy Wonka purposely seeked out these kids? And let me explain why I'm asking that question. Creepy ear whisper guy is at every single event that they're celebrating someone getting the golden ticket,
well,
right?
I actually think because we all hear that it's like a couple of days afterward when they start reporting them. So maybe Slugworth knows he gets the news early and he goes up to where they live.
It's interesting. It just seems like, I don't know. I feels like to me that Willy Wonka might be plotting. That's all I'm saying.
Well, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe some foreshadowing going on.
Maybe.
And then we flash to, and then we see Grandpa Joe get Charlie another Wonka bar.
Yeah. Yeah. He used the tobacco money that he gave him.
Charlie. Don't support your grandpa on tobacco.
Well, but he ended up using it not even for tobacco. He ended up buying him an extra chocolate bar to see if he could get himself a golden ticket.
And they failed miserably.
They did. Very, very sadly.
I bet the ticket makes the chocolate taste bad.
Yeah, that's what Charlie said. Yeah, man.
Charlie's crushed.
Right? He is. He's really crushed.
Yeah. Charlie's teacher, eventually they find out that another ticket has been found, or they think another ticket has been found.
Oh, that's right, in Paraguay.
And Charlie's teacher is like, hello, welcome to class, kids.
Yeah, everyone's kind of bummed out, I think.
And then he goes to the candy shop and he buys some more candy after school.
Well, doesn't he find that money in like the
the little thing
in the little grate on the floor on the concrete there? Yeah,
and he buys a Scrumdiddlyumptious bar, which
he does.
Just,
just wolfs it down his mouth, man.
And then he buys a regular Wonka bar, and he walks out. And then everyone's saying that the dude from Paraguay that found the found the ticket was faked.
Yeah, it was a counterfeit.
And then. Charlie gets stoked, and he just starts ripping it open. He's like, and then he gets, I found a golden ticket.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
And Charlie's just running, booking it, because everyone's trying to give him money for it.
Well, I think that, the newspaper guy, his boss, was saying, like, run, Charlie, run as fast as you can.
And then we see the return of creepy ear whisper guy.
But we finally actually hear him talk. And who do we find out he is?
Slugworth.
Slugworth, that creep.
He probably makes some of the worst candy.
I just like, you know, what's funny is like nobody's going to the candy shop to go get Slugworth bars. Mm-hmm. They're all going to go get Wonka bars.
It's probably just from the name alone.
Well, then we find out what he's trying to do is he's trying to get him about the, the Everlasting Gobstopper, mm-hmm. right? And that he'd pay him 10,000 big ones if he brought it back to him at the end of his, pardon me, at the end of the deal.
And then there's a great running montage of him booking it back home.
Yeah, I like that whole montage there. That's a really cool montage. You get to see some really cool shots of him running.
Mm-hmm. And then we get into the house, which looks very broken down.
Well, you know, he's broke, my dude.
I feel really bad for them.
A one-income house. Well, we're going to find out that Uncle Joe's been...
Okay.
Uncle Joe. I keep on calling him Uncle Joe. Grandpa Joe.
I'm calling cheese on how he gets up. He's been that bed for 20 years and he gets right up.
Right up. Right up. Like, just flips it over. Now, it takes him a minute to, like, gain his feet. Mm-hmm. But for a man that has been laid in bed for 20 years, all of a sudden, after 3 minutes of walking around the house, we're sitting up there doing a little soft shoe. Like, come on, man. Bring me the cane. I'm putting a jacket over my daggone sleeping gown. And I'm sitting up here just dancing the jig. Man, that's some nasty cheese right there. That might even be some cave 100-year-old.
Yeah, I was actually going to call
blue
that
cheese.
Because
that's just nasty.
It's very convenient.
Yeah, then all of a sudden he's okay.
And it's super cheesy.
Man, come on, Grandpa Joe, man, I'm so disappointed.
And also the great third musical number, I've Got a Golden Ticket.
Oh, I love it. This is a good song. It really is. Even if Grandpa Joe is making me mad, I'm mad, but I'm singing the song.
And
good morning! Look at the sun!
And also, why does he look like Albert Einstein?
He does look like Albert Einstein, doesn't he?
And then they say that he has to go October 1st, which is the next day.
The next day. We got to get ready, man. We got to get ready.
We're already here.
We are. This is the day, DJ.
People wearing headphones, we are so sorry, but we have to scream it. We meet Willy Wonka!
The man. He's opening up his gates for the first time for 5 lucky winners. Oh, dude, we're right there with him. We're right there with him.
And then one of the greatest entrances of all time.
Oh, hands down, one of the greatest entrances of all time.
And, Dad, you were telling me that you had a very interesting story about Willy Wonka.
Dude, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I wanted to tell you this, and I was trying to keep it for the podcast. I didn't even tell you outside of it because I thought it was so cool. So Gene Wilder was not even the first dude that was scheduled to be Willy Wonka. As a matter of fact, there was a couple of dudes before him that did some readings for his role. As a matter of fact, all of the guys from Monty Python, mm-hmm. every single main actor of it, tried out for the role of Willy Wonka.
I would have liked to see where one of them would have been.
I think it would have been kind of cool. But yeah. I mean, after seeing
Gene Wilder.
Oh my gosh, there's just no comparison. And then Roald Dahl had wanted an actor by the name of Spike Mulligan, but they ended up going with Gene Wilder. But I wanted to read this for you real quick. When Wilder was cast as Wonka, he accepted the role on one condition. When I make my first entrance, I'd like to come out of the door carrying a cane and then walk toward the crowd with a limp. After the crowd sees Willy Wonka as a cripple, they all whisper to themselves, and then they'll become deathly quiet. As I walk toward them, my cane sinks into one of the cobblestones I'm walking on and stands straight up by itself. But I keep on walking until I realize that I no longer have my cane. I start to fall forward, and just before I hit the ground, I do a beautiful forward somersault and bounce back up.
That's
to
the
great
exact
applause.
Bit in the movie.
And it's the bit, right? And then he goes on to say really quickly that from that time on, Wilder says, mm-hmm. no one will know if I'm lying or if I'm telling the truth. Oh, I mean, that just lays in, DJ, to the genius That is frickin' Gene Wilder, my guy. What a crazy story that is, man. And then it just goes to my guy, in my opinion, one of the greatest entrances to a main player in a movie of all time, my dude.
I mean, I agree. And then, Veruca tries to get first.
Oh, well, yeah, she has to push her way through because, you know, Veruca is just, just a brat.
And then he leads them in, and I want that purple suit so much. Sweet drip.
Hey, Willy Wonka got the coldest drip, right? Like, with the purple little velvet jacket, and then the ruffled waistcoat, Deej, and that brown little stovetop tilted to the side. That is the most player drip on the scene, my guy.
Like, if that guy ever came up, like, in the bar, like, everyone wanted to talk to him.
Oh, 100%. Like, 100%. If I saw that dude at the bar, first of all, I'm buying him a drink, and then I'm trying to kick it with him all night, because that's the coldest dude in the bar.
Oh, and do you think it's a good time for a break?
Yeah, let's take a break right now. What do you say?
All right, we'll be back after these messages.
Boop-boop-boop.
Do-do-do-do-do. I got a golden ticket. Da-na-na-na-na-na.
I got a golden chance to make my way.
Oh, we're recording.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, you guys.
That's on the internet now.
I don't care. It was beautiful, son. Well done, man. Give me some love. All right.
Don't you dare say anything bad about it.
We're already threatening our listeners? My gosh, it's only the fifth episode.
We're sorry, we're just messing around.
Oh my gosh. Welcome back, guys.
Welcome back to hands grabbing stuff from those people.
Oh my gosh. I'm gonna die. Excuse me. That's so funny. And you're right. Those hands are super creepy.
And then we see this very interesting contract.
Oh.
In the beginning, it's very big and bold.
Oh,
and
yeah. Then we know exactly where it's shrinking. Saying. About five lines down, all of a sudden it gets to just like very tiny letters.
Like, you're gonna need like the world's biggest mega glass to see.
100%. Like, you're gonna need the Hubble telescope, like, to like see what the bottom words are.
And then after all that's done, we go to the first door.
Okay, the first door.
And then he says, we got, and then everyone's like, I want to get out of here.
Oh, that's the funny little kind of black and white room. Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, and then, or they open it up, and they say, how are we going to get back? Oh, you have to go forward to go back.
That's right. Oh, it's really good. It's really, really good.
And then we see a musical lock.
Which, by the way.
Some great security already.
A great security in this place, right? Like, I love that little musical bit, that musical bit, right? Mm-hmm. What does he play? Was it Rachmaninoff, I think, or something? Where the mom's like, that's Rachmaninoff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, now we're back to Dad's favorite category.
Yes! My favorite category.
Will the Clash song make this movie better? And the answer is always...
Yes! 100% yes!
And we'd actually put it right here on the musical lock.
Oh, yeah. This is where we would do our Clash song. Right here, we would do our little musical lock. It would be to the Clash.
All right. And I actually have thought of two songs we can do.
Oh, okay. Right on.
We could do Guns of Brixton. That sound dope.
Oh, do you know that's the very first song?
Yes.
That I ever played for you? I know,
when
I tell
was
you
a
all
wee
the time.
Babe.
Like, when you came into this world and I got to hold you, I played Guns of Brixton for you.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, the Clash will forever be in your life. Okay, and what's the second song?
Police and Thieves.
Oh, interesting. That's a Clash cover, as a matter of fact. That's not a Clash original, although I absolutely love that song.
Although, Guns of Brixton is a Clash cover, too.
No, Guns of Brixton is their song.
No, yep. Other people are doing
their
song.
Yeah, other people have covered their... Yeah, that's an original, but I believe Junior Mervin... is a reggae singer from Jamaica. He originally did Police and Thieves like in 1976, and then the Clash covered that song in 1977. Sorry, Clash tangent, moving back to Willy Wonka. In my opinion, I think Police and Thieves would be awesome because of that bass line. Do 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 do. Oh, it's such a good bass line, dude. I love that song. Yeah, I'm going with that one. Please, what's your, what do you think?
I'm actually going to go with Guns N' Brixton.
Okay, switching it up. I like it. Yeah. Guns N' Brixton. Oh, my man.
I think that sound dope.
Yeah, dude, it's great.
And then we see the, well, we open the tiny door that becomes gigantic.
Gigantic, yeah.
And then the room turns out to be microscopic.
Yeah, that they're in is, like, super tiny, but then it opens up.
And then, but, like, the door, and then there's a little bit of space, and then the other door. So, Willy Wonka, what kind of magic are you pulling? like, I'd love to know.
But, like, after the musical lock, it opens up to...
My favorite song in this entire movie.
And your favorite scene, too, right? No, that's not your favorite scene. No, that comes later. Oh, this is... Yeah, just right. This is your favorite scene, and then your second favorite scene comes later.
Yeah, I love this scene because the candy forest... Just put the whole thing in there. Just shove it down my throat.
The whole candy forest, like, everything you can see is edible.
Besides the people.
And then the song. This is your favorite song.
Oh, yeah. Pure Imagination.
Pure Imagination, man. Oh. Give it up. I love that song, man. There is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Oh, my gosh. Sorry, we should have warned y'all that there would be a lot of singing in this episode.
Actually, one of our original ideas was to open in. There's a lot of singing or food related humor. You have been warned.
Yeah, we should have done a disclaimer in the beginning. We're so sorry. We're not professional singers. We just love the music.
Although, someone's good at singing.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not me. Yeah, fair enough.
No, you're pretty all right.
The shade.
And then we see the Chocolate River, which mixes, or which has 10,000 gallons an hour mixes.
Yeah, it mixes 10,000 gallons.
By a waterfall?
And that's how it churns the chocolate. It's a genius idea, man.
I don't buy it.
How do you not buy it?
How can a whole bunch of rocks mix up the chocolate? And how can they make it taste so good?
There's no rocks. It's just a waterfall going into the river of chocolate. At that particular point, it's churning all the chocolate right there.
No, you see there's like little rocks and then the chocolate hits off the rocks.
Probably. Those are probably edible rocks too, for crying out loud.
The glass is probably edible at this point.
Delicious. My intestines will pay for that later.
My stomach has been demonetized.
How can a stomach be demonetized?
I don't know. I'm just talking.
Oh, man. I love you so much, dude.
Also, I call cheese on the Oompa Loompas.
Wait, what?
They look like people in makeup.
They are people in makeup, dude.
No, that's how they're supposed to look. That's how the Oompa Loompas are supposed to look. They look like they're just people in makeup, not different human-esque beings.
Okay, are we really talking about this right now?
Yes,
you're calling cheese on the actors that play the Oompa Loompas because you don't like their makeup?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying their makeup's not that convincing. Considering, let me explain.
Okay.
Considering nowadays makeup, like... If they redid Bigfoot, it would look like an actual monkey.
Or if they redid this movie, it would be the same person playing every Oompa Loompa. Like that? Oh, did I? Did I Voldemort the show right there? You know what?
I am
so appalled. I'm so appalled that you called cheese on the Oompa Loompa.
Come from your mouth, please. No one needs to hear that garbageness.
Oh my gosh. Whatever. I love the Oompa Loompas. Okay?
No, I'm talking about the remake.
Oh yeah, my bad. Now I'll take 30 lashes later.
if you hear silence, it's probably just us laughing.
We're really cracking each other up today, dude. Oh, my gosh.
And then we see Augustus drowning.
Oh, gosh. That Augustus.
The fat kid of the movie.
Like, dude.
But to be fair, we are both Augustus.
Oh, we are both. Yes, 100%.
We will eat everything.
We are card-carrying members of the Fat Kid Club. Okay? Like, that. Like, I'm sorry. Everyone is Augustus at that point in the movie, okay? I'm trying to drink from the chocolate river, too. All right? I'm sorry.
And Willy Wonka, all he's thinking about is his chocolate.
He is. He's like, I don't care. He's like, my chocolate. My beautiful chocolate. Augustus is drowning, bro.
And then the even better bit is Mom calls for help. Well, and for Willy. And then Willy says very calmly, help. Police. Murder.
It's so... the snark that comes out of his mouth when he says that, dude, is freaking hilarious. Oh my gosh.
And then, I'm counting on myself already.
Ah, no worries.
And then Augustus
You're doing a lovely job, man.
Oh, thanks. And then Augustus, you dingus, you get stuck in the pipe.
He did get stuck in the pipe.
How did he get stuck in the pipe?
Well, the suction brought him over there. Yeah.
Right. And then he gets stuck in the pipe, considering his body shape. his bean-shaped body.
His bean-shaped body.
No offense to anyone that has that body style.
Oh, none. Stop it. It's not, we're just giving, we're giving Augustus the business because, you know, he could have done better.
And then Willy Wonka says, the suspense is terrible. I hope it'll last. While occasionally popping some tappings.
Oh, he gives zero cares, my dude. Oh my gosh.
And then the sixth song in the movie, the Oompa Loompas sing sweets.
Oh, yeah.
He's just talking about... Yeah,
the Oompa Loompa Doopa Dee.
He's talking about, or is that relating to someone's mask?
They're clowning on Augustus really hard in that song, which is hilarious.
I mean, this entire book might just be full of Gene Wilder's amazing quotes.
The man has a way with words. And I wonder, I'm sure some of them are written down, but I wonder if a lot of those are ad-libbed. You know what I mean? That it just came off the top of the head to say those lines. They're just unbelievable, man.
I agree. And then they go on to the boat.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then Veronica, being Veronica, wants the whole world.
Veruca.
Mm-hmm. Who wants the whole world, apparently.
Oh, yeah. She wants everything. Just like she wants boats. She wants Willy Wonka's factory. What a brat.
She probably wants the moon for all we know.
She probably does.
She probably wants the Milky Way galaxy.
I mean, she just wants everything. Okay, it's just spoiled.
And then let me say Grandpa's quote. This is the beginning quote. What she wants is a good kick in the pants. End quote. Nice.
Grandpa has had enough.
And then we get into the tunnel. Horrifying. This is now a horror film.
Just for that, what, 2 minutes? Or rather, 5 minutes, it's a complete horror film. Complete horror film. The images?
Which
direction we are going? Is it raining? Is it snowing? Oh, dude, get me off the boat! Like, get me off the boat!
Are, like, several people gone outside? No, that's left. Just their shoes.
They're gone. I'm out of here. I won off the boat. I'm done.
No, I'm talking about if something was in the water.
Oh.
Dun.
Ooh, a chocolate shark? Chocolate shark.
Chocolate shark. Get in my mouth.
Oh, man.
I think he's mad now.
Who do you think's mad?
Gene Wilder.
Oh, he's a crazed loon in this 5 minutes of the film. Like, well, I mean, he's a loony bag anyway, for crying out loud. But yeah, in this particular part, he's crazed.
And my question is, did they really go anywhere?
How do you mean?
Like, you see them rowing, you see the Oompa Loompas pushing. But
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The fact that they were, like, immediately there.
Oh, like, meaning, like, once they went into the tunnel, do you think that, like, they were rowing the entire time? No, I don't think so. I think once they went into that tunnel, that they were already in place. And that it was just super dark, and Willy Wonka is crazy and decided to play those just random images on the walls. And like, then I know you said that we do see them rowing, but I wonder if there was like some kind of mechanism where like the back end of the boat was like raised up somehow and they really weren't going anywhere.
Actually, I do have a theory.
Okay, talk
to me. What could be going on.
All right.
I would think, because you see the boat completely stop.
And sure.
Considering the way the river's going.
Yeah.
how is it not pushing the boat? Like, the boat. The boat's staying perfectly still. So what I think is...
Okay.
There's a locking mechanism on the ship.
Oh!
So they could have just been pushing when nothing could have been happening.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I like that. So you agree, then, that they were automatically in their place?
Yeah, yeah. They didn't go anywhere.
Fair enough.
And the next room is the invention room.
It's a cool room, too. I like it a lot.
It's the room where it happens.
Oh, is that a Hamilton reference?
Yes, yes, it is.
I want to be in the room where it happens, the room where it happens, the room where it happens. That... Boy, we should have put this the disclaimer in the beginning of this.
God, one. There's so much singing.
So much singing.
It's a love singing food related jokes.
Right.
We should have definitely told someone.
Oh my gosh.
And then we see them go through like all the candy stuff.
Yeah.
And then they say don't eat anything.
Yeah.
Everyone's eating stuff.
Well, in particular, Mike TV, that silly knob, he freaking...
Exploding candy.
The exploding candy, it puts him right on his tail, too.
No.
Bow.
Is all of your organs intact?
This is like mini dynamite, man. Just blew him up from the inside.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Might have gotten a little bit too dark there, Dad. Ooh. Ooh, that's graphic.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he throws a shoe in there, and then gives it a look.
That's right. He puts the footy boots in the little vat in there. He's like, it's to give it a little kick. Oh, it's so good.
And he touches it, and he says, oh, way too cold.
Yeah.
And he throws a jacket in there.
Dude, I love this movie so much, DJ, just because of the sheer absurdity of so many of these scenes, dude.
And then we see, in all their glory, the everlasting gobstoppers!
That's right. That's 10 G's worth of an everlasting gobstopper, my dude. Question. You giving it to Slugworth?
Oh, heck no. I'm saving it for myself.
Okay. I like that answer. Fair enough.
And he says they're for poor kids. With very little pocket money, which I mean...
Respect, Willie.
Respect.
Respect, Willie.
Respect, son. With some sweet drip.
Oh, I want that. I want that whole look, bro.
I want the whole shebang-a-bang.
You know what we should do? We should go, like, for Christmas one year. Mm-hmm. Or not Christmas, but Halloween. Mm-hmm. And we should just both go as, like, Willy Wonka.
And
like, I can be Willy. Yes! 100% yes, dude. I would pay $1 million. I could be Willy, you could be Charlie. We're dressed as the same. And then Sissy rolling us a loop-a-loop.
I'd be Sweet Drip Charlie.
Oh my gosh. With our little background music, it'd be fantastic.
like some super dope music.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're just walking up like...
I was like, man, yeah, that's right. It's Willy and Charlie. We're in... The scene, okay?
The scene. And then Violet, being the gum-chewing, disgusting girl that she is, grabs the new gum, which is
brilliant, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Three different meals.
If it worked.
And also, when you hear that machine running, I'm picking up some fart sounds.
100%, Deej. 100%. It's so funny.
And then she eats it. And she becomes a blueberry.
She does become a blueberry. And then they gotta go juice her. They gotta take her to the juicer so they can get all the liquid out of her before she bursts. Oh my gosh, they tip her on the side and roll her out of the room. It's so funny.
And then the Oompa Loompa sing their second song, Gum.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, I like that one, too. Man, we should have wrote the lyrics down for some of these.
I got a blueberry for a daughter.
The dad?
Don't just know.
Yeah.
Dad calls cheese on the lickable wallpaper. I think it's genius.
I'm calling 100% cheese at this moment, Deej. And let me tell you why. Okay. First of all, it's 2021. Wait, let me finish. 2021. Are we still using wallpaper in houses?
Yeah,
I mean,
I
could
tacky.
Be wrong.
It's pretty tacky.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not an interior designer, so I don't know. But I'm not seeing a lot of wallpaper, number one. Number two, COVID. Okay, I'm not having no wallpaper at the house, and if I did, I sure as heck ain't having nobody lick on my wallpaper. The snozzberries are my snozzberries. Okay, I'm telling you that right now.
Here's why I think it's a genius.
Okay, I'm ready to hear it. It's Gorgonzola, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Super cheese.
What I would do is I'd roll it up into like a little wrap and make it look like it's just like a little paper wrap, you know, nothing much when people come to look at it.
Sure.
And when they're gone, I get and unfold it, start licking.
Okay, so then you are selfishly keeping it for yourself and no one else is having it, right?
Yeah, totally. I'll get one for you, but no one's having mine.
That's fair. You're just going to cut off like a little strip for people to take home. Like, the schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
And then the best line in the movie.
The best line in the movie. Read it to him, Deej.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.
Oh, DJ, I love this line so much. And there's been a lot of movies that I've watched, as you know. Over my life.
You are a movie kid.
And there is some like great lines in a lot of great movies. But this line, bro, is like tattoo worthy. Like, I will tattoo it to my body one day. I love it so very much, man.
Where would you put it?
I don't know. Probably like on my back or something like that, dude.
That's going to be painful.
It might be, but
especially if it goes over your spine.
Mm. Oh, I don't know. But I just love that line. It's such a great line.
Okay. I don't disagree with you.
Fair enough.
Fizzy lifting drinks.
Fizzy lifting drinks. That's right. Also, and Grandpa Joe is a frigging terrible influence. Not only did he not get out of bed for 20 years, now he's making Charlie do some crap that he ain't supposed to do, Deej.
And they almost get turned into Swiss. No, well, they won't get turned to Swiss cheese. They get
Shredded beef. They're going shredded beef on that one. With that big old blade that's at the top.
Wouldn't that technically be shredded human?
Ooh, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We just got a little...
My bad. I'm sorry.
Deej, this is not the setting.
Lamb chops.
Well, we know that obviously they're... Oh, but wait. Mm-hmm. Cheese. At this bit.
Okay, so you've noticed that we're not doing the little timestamps anymore?
Yes. Thank goodness, because I think the...
It took up, like, too much time.
Yeah, the timestamps weren't great. We do apologize about that, by the way. But this is a special timestamp.
At the 1 hour 16 minute mark, we see the line holding Charlie up.
We see, ladies and gentlemen.
See.
We physically see the fish lines that are holding up Charlie and Grandpa. Well, I think Charlie, right? Mm-hmm. At this point, holding him up as he's going up into that little shaft for the fizzy lifting drink scene. Totally 100% cheese. Like, we could have done a better job, editor. Terrible.
I call extreme cheese.
Extreme cheese.
A new addition to the list.
Oh, yes. I think so, too.
And it's actually worse than the cave grown.
Wow. Do we have a name for said worse than grown? Are we still working on it?
No, it's just called extreme cheese.
It's just called extreme cheese. But you got to say it like the old commercials for like energy drinks.
Extreme cheese.
Extreme cheese.
Go buy today and ruin your cholesterol. Oh, we are taking some of these bits way too far.
Oh my gosh.
And Charlie, burp boy, burp.
Yeah, indeed, burp so you don't get messed up by the fan, man.
And then we see the golden egg room, and Willie tells him about the golden geese.
Oh yeah, the golden geese that lay the golden eggs.
Which, by the way, in legend only tells us of one. How were there like five of them? Like, did he get like a... Does he have secretly have like a multiplier machine that just multiplies everything?
Not only that, he's lying to the geese by telling them that it's already past Easter, but he still wants them to lay the golden egg so he can get a leap into next year. Ah, and then your second favorite part with a great song.
Hey, we skipped something.
Oh no, what did we skip?
I want it now. All right, are you ready for this? And if I don't get what I want, I'll scream!
We just totally turned that song into a metal song, dude.
My second favorite part in the whole movie.
Yeah, she's a bad egg. Later. Matter of fact, I think I put that part in our stories as well on our IG page. Love that scene.
I guess that is an egg-educated egg-dicator.
Oh, I like the egg puns, my dude. I like the egg puns.
Are you enjoying the excellent puns? Oh.
Dang it, we just took it we took it past it. Okay, we had two. Three is just too much.
Hey. There's never an end to the excellent puns. Oh, and then we get onto the Wonkamobile.
Yeah, the Wonkamobile to take us over to, I think it's the TV studio. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the TV studio that's coming up. But I love the Wonkamobile.
Mm-hmm. And apparently has more gas than the politician.
That's right. That's another line from Grandpa. Grandpa Joe is killing it on the lines. Not a huge fan of his character overall, but he's got great lines.
And then we see WonkaVision.
Yeah, I like the WonkaVision.
WandaVision, WonkaVision.
Oh! By the way, if no one has watched WandaVision yet,
go watch it. It's amazing.
Highly, highly recommended. Fantastic show.
Although the first three episodes are a bit slow.
They are, but I think it's just storytelling. It's a build-up to what the fantasticness that's going to happen after
fair
that.
Fair enough. All right, I can't argue with that.
All right, fair enough.
And we get to Mike TV.
Mm-hmm.
Who explains the TV, basically what it is.
Oh, yeah, he explains TV to Willy Wonka like Willy Wonka doesn't know.
And then he says, I can't hear you, pretty much.
Yeah, that's right. Next time you talk, speak into my good ear.
And then we shrink the candy bar, and then we shrink Mike TV.
We do shrink Mike TV, that's right.
He becomes Tiny Boy now.
Tiny Boy, and then Mom just picks him up by his, like, his little helmet. And,
Tiny Boy!
Puts him right into his purse, and she's like, okay, what do? And then they take him out of here. And then Oompa Loompa's like, am I going to be responsible if anything bad happens? Willy Wonka's like, no, you're fine, you're covered.
Loop of song number 4, TV.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good number, too. You'll get no commercials.
And then, Grandpa Joe and, Charlie bite. Well, that's what Wonka says. And then, Grandpa Joe comes in and is
he
like...
He lost. Yeah, he tells him...
Because he knew what happened.
Right, so that's right. I think I skipped a bit. So Grandpa Joe goes in to talk to Willie about him getting, about Charlie getting his lifetime supply of chocolate. Right. And everything's like halved in his office, right?
Mm-hmm. And then Charlie gives him the everlasting gobstopper.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he says that great line.
He says, oh, I can say it. So shines a good deed in a weary world.
Oh, dude, what a fantastic line.
And then Mr. Wilkinson is Slugworth.
Yeah, Wilkinson, or the guy that we think is Slugworth, comes in as Mr. Wilkinson.
Mm-hmm. He isn't Slugworth.
No, he actually turns out to be a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Still creepy, though.
Charlie wins!
He wins the whole shebang, dude!
All that chocolate. Although, just saying, if I got a lifetime supply of chocolate,
yeah,
I wouldn't be able to eat all of it, so what I would do is I would sell it. I wouldn't sell it. I was like, this is my thing.
Bubba,
mm-hmm.
You get the whole factory.
Well, hey, it was only for Charlie that got the whole factory.
Right, but you don't have to sell your lifetime supply of chocolate because you become the next Willy Wonka. You're going to end up selling chocolate anyway, my guy. So you just keep the lifetime supply of chocolate for yourself.
And then we see the great glass Wonkavator.
Mm-hmm. Don't buy it, but go ahead.
The last button that he's never pressed.
Never touched. A glass elevator, DJ, going out of a glass roof. Now you're going to tell me.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. That's what is going on. That not everyone is just shattered into smithereens. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cheese. I love it, though. I want a glass elevator.
I do, too.
I call cheese, but I love it.
And then, Charlie wins the factory, which I mean, best prize ever.
Best prize ever.
Like, there's no better prize.
None whatsoever.
And then Wonka says, don't forget about the man who got everything he wanted. He lived happily ever after. And then...
And that's how the film closes out, man. Beautiful shots of Munich, Germany, too, while they're up in the glass, the glass elevator. I wanted to say that.
And that is the movie.
That is the movie, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We sang a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We should have probably put a disclaimer in the beginning, but we're not apologizing for anything.
And then you want to tell the good people what the next episode will be?
Yes. So the next episode is going to be, we're breaking up the top five mm-hmm. again. And we're going to a movie that the Deej has never, ever seen.
Which
and
might be my dad's fault.
I am so excited. No, I kind of wanted to wean you into it. You know what I mean? However, episode 6, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be Enter the Dragon.
By Bruce Lee, baby.
Bruce Lee, baby, making it on the scene. I can't wait to do it, Deej. Good job.
Adios. And I bid you adieu.
Listen, you're going French on me. I'm not mad at it. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, be kind and smile at someone today.
Because you never know how anyone's feeling in this time.
Well said, son. Bye, guys. Take care.